Hey everyone, welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. We are so delighted that you tuned in this morning. I would encourage you to grab a cup of coffee and pull up as we talk today about the fear of the Lord. Hey everybody, welcome back to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. We're excited today to talk about this topic of the fear of the Lord. Adam's going to introduce our coffee before we begin.
Yes, we do have some new coffee. This was gifted to us by Jake Tyler's mom, and it's called Traeger Brothers, and Traeger Brothers Coffee. That's tbcroasters.com. Maybe you can see the website, the phone number on there.
They can't see that, bro.
look it up.
It's
Traeger Brothers Coffee. And this is located in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in central Virginia. So right here, Charlottesville, they have some places there in Charlottesville where they're roasting coffee. So this seems like a great one. It says it's an Ethiopian coffee. This one specifically, wonderfully fragrant, high on the palate. I was wondering the difference between low on the palate and high on the palate.
About to find out.
All right.
Very cheers, mates.
That's cheers.
Good. Yeah, mate. All right.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Very good. High on the palate. Feel that high up on the palate?
That's right.
Yes.
I feel that.
Honestly, yes.
Now
are they all like that?
No, you know.
I'm going to be tested.
Is Adam finally getting coffee? Is he understanding
noticed,
it now?
He noticed something distinct.
You have to describe those things to me. What I'm looking for. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Very recently, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Waters Edge Church of Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And we had a banquet at the Chesapeake Convention Center, Conference Center. And it's called the Conference Center. And during that dinner, you said someone approached you, one of our members, Mr. Lee. And
yeah, Lee came and he said, "Hey, I've got an idea for you guys for Coffee Time. Why don't you talk about the fear of the Lord?" And I said, "Well, I will suggest it to the other gentleman."
Yes, we pushed that right up to the front to go ahead and jump on this topic because I think this topic matters so much in our day where so many churches are flippant about their gatherings. The way the worship services are even structured, the things that take place during worship gatherings sometimes can lack the reverence that you would expect as someone who reads through the scriptures for the Lord. And so let's kick this around a little bit because I'm assuming behind his question, there's a little bit of what is the fear of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Is this a positive thing or is this a negative thing? Should I live in fear? Should I, what does that even look like in the life of a believer? So I imagine that there's some nuanced things that we want to talk about with this.
Yeah, that's the way I took it, that he was wondering, you know, again, like you said, is this something that's positive or negative?
Mm-hmm. And so would you say both?
Yeah, I would say there's a little bit of both in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. so...
Yeah, I would just say, maybe it's different for the believer and the unbeliever, even that an unbeliever, the fear of the Lord, you know, brings terror, right? And judgment and facing a holy, just, righteous God. But for the believer, it's probably, I would say, more of a reverential awe.
Right.
You know, there's this awe that we have that knowing God's holiness and power but knowing that we've been saved from his wrath changes the way that we view and fear the Lord.
Yeah. Right. To clarify, I think you're saying in the day of judgment, because right now there is no fear of the Lord.
Right.
Right.
And that's the problem.
That's
and
honestly,
there is no fear of God.
Yeah. Because the fear of the Lord actually leads us to want to to obey him. The fear of the Lord wants us to, or makes us want to live our lives to please him, right?
Right.
If we do not have that fear of the Lord, it shows a misunderstanding of the Lord and who he is.
And a misunderstanding of life. I mean, a number of times in Proverbs, like in chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So without the fear of the Lord, we're lacking wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with what the psalmist says, that the man who says there is no God is a fool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there should be that fear. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me, as if that's a good thing. And I'm like, dude, that's not what you want. Yeah. He's just. I'm not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is a phrase that appears so many times through the Bible. This is like the Bible's saturated with language about the fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. fearing God, fear the Lord. So I made, I just pulled some scriptures, a sampling of scriptures of the numerous ones throughout the Bible. But before I start digging around in some of these, I do want to acknowledge some of the reason I think this is a question for some people is because, like, even what you said, you know, the fear of the Lord motivates people to obey him, to love mm-hmm. him. And some people just see that as a bad thing. Like, why right. should fear be a motivator, right? Isn't it out of love? Well, yes, it is. But you have to understand what the Bible means by the fear of the Lord. And so let me look to a sampling of scriptures. I pulled some from the Psalms and Proverbs, from other places as well. But it's very prevalent in both those. 30 times you'll see this phrase in the Psalms and Proverbs, 15 in each. Let me just read some of these, and we can talk about some as we see fit. But first, Psalm 25:14 says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him." Mm. So it ties a fear of him with being a friend of God. Friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, meaning it's not for those who don't fear him.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And he makes known to them his covenant.
Yeah.
Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Mm. Mentioned the word awe.
Yeah.
So it's almost a parallel there.
And let me just share with you the Hebrew is yirah. And it can be translated as fear, which it often is. It can also be translated as awe. But there are a few times in the Old Testament, it's also translated as worship. Mm. So worshiping God is a form of fearing God, being in awe of who God is.
Yeah. And God is the only being in which we are to fear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because he has all authority.
Right.
And he's all powerful. The sheer majesty of the presence of God should cause us to tremble. Like, and I think this is the problem that I have with sort of a modern day approach. Yes, we're secure in the gospel, but I think sometimes we're so quick to like remedy this fear of God that we don't let people really think about how fearful God is.
Mm-hmm.
The wrath of God is on the sons of disobedience.
Right.
By nature, we are children of wrath. Like, you should feel some of that mm-hmm. and fear the judgment of God and have a right perspective. And I think this comes with a right orientation of the heart and of the mind to who God is, because it has to immediately humble us mm-hmm. when we see how small right. we are in light of a God who created everything.
Right.
And this is a perfect God. He's a holy God, and we are unholy,
right?
Apart from his grace in Christ, right? So, like, right. just by our very nature, being lawbreakers and him being lawgiver and perfect and just, and all of this, and us being accountable to this great authority, there's a right respect,
yes,
that we should have for the Lord that I think lacks in some even believers' minds,
yeah,
and attitudes, and you know. Ways they conduct themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of what Christ was talking about in the Gospels when he said, unless you become like a little child. You know, children are in awe of so much. You know, I've had four kids of my own, and I can remember going for walks with them, and especially when they're little, you know, we'd be walking and we turn around and one of our kids is not with us because they're in that squat, you know, that only kids can do. Because if adults try to do it, they can't get up. But they're in that squat and they're looking at ants or something on the ground, something that we just walk right over and pay no heed to. But they're in awe of that. And I think that's one of the things that Christ was talking about, being in awe of him in the little things of what he's done and what he's doing.
Yeah. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? You reference that in the Proverbs. That appears multiple times. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Behold, this is Psalm 33:18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him.
Mm.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Mm-hmm. So our fear, when properly positioned, is tied with hope in his steadfast love. And that's and I think when it's divorced from that is when you get the wrong kind of fear.
Right.
Because perfect love casts out fear. That's the other. In the New Testament, you get this passage in 1 John 4. It says, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. We can actually have confidence in the day of judgment because as he is, so also are we in this world. Mm. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. That's an example of the negative kind of fear.
Right.
But that's not the fear of the Lord that we're that's commended in the Bible. And
right.
Even commanded, let all right. the earth fear him, right?
Right.
The kind of fear of the Lord that's commanded even, is the fear that's tied with hoping in his steadfast love.
Yeah.
That's why we're a friend of God then.
Amen.
You know, versus, an enemy who fears him in a much mm-hmm. different way.
And let's, if we can, let's go back and, you know, as you said, it's mentioned numerous times in Psalms and Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And just touch on why that is. You know, why is it that if we fear, revere, are in awe and worship God, it's the beginning of wisdom because it shows a proper perspective. It shows that we realize it's God and we're not number one. It's not all about us and we need him because he has all things and we have nothing. And so we depend upon him. We rely upon him. And that's what wisdom is, isn't it? Recognizing and having the proper perspective on life and the world around us. And so without that awe of who God is and what God has done, we're going to lack wisdom because mm-hmm. we're going to put somebody, probably ourselves, or something else in front of him.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say it's the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, right? So knowing who God is. And you see that in the gospel as well, like knowing who God is essential to understanding the gospel, right? So we
right.
know who God is, God, man, Christ response. We talk about the gospel in that way. So beginning with God, who he is, and then that understanding then leads us to see in how wretched we are before a holy God, right? And in
right.
need for Christ.
It's a good way to talk about humility because I fear God versus what I was thinking when you were mentioning going back to the Proverbs and Psalms that say it's the beginning of wisdom is in the Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs are a contrast. Whenever wisdom's mentioned, it's usually in contrast with the fool, right? You have the wise man and you have the foolish person. And the beginning of wisdom is, or the beginning of, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom because fools despise instruction.
Right.
They despise correction. Where if we fear Lord, we don't despise his instruction. We actually delight in it and want it. Yes. And we don't despise his correction, even his discipline. God disciplines those he loves, right? And so there's a heart posture that's humble for those who fear the Lord versus those who do not fear the Lord or puffed with pride.
Right.
And would not receive any correction from him in this life until they have no choice.
Right. And like 1 John says, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Why? Well, because it's the love of God. And as we understand who God is in that perfect love, there's no room for fear. We don't have to be afraid of being open and transparent before him. He already knows who we are, and he loves us anyway. We don't have to be afraid of confessing our sins because he's already aware of them. So there's nothing in that relationship with the Lord that should hold us back in any way, like we might have with other people.
Yeah. I want to keep going on this so our audience can hear the breadth of this in the Bible. Psalm 128:1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So fear there is, you know, akin to walking in his ways. Yeah. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Mm-hmm. So there's a right motivation. Like, fear is not always bad. And right. Sometimes we think of fear as just this negative term, but it's like, it's fear that keeps me from danger.
Right.
And so it functions that way here in this proverb, because the fear of the Lord's a fountain of life, because it causes me to turn away from the snares of death, mm-hmm. from my sin, from things that would have drastic consequences
right.
in my life.
We want our kids to be afraid of dangerous situations. You know, having lived in Arizona, about an hour away from the Grand Canyon, you hear reports all the time of people who fall off into the canyon. And, you know, I've always wondered, how does that happen? How do you even get that close to the edge that you could possibly fall off? You know, and I've got a fear of heights, so, you know, it's easy for me to just say, okay, I'm close enough here. But for somebody to go right out there to the edge and they say, oh, I'm not afraid, well, it could be more dangerous than you think.
Yeah, there's a difference between courage and foolishness, right?
Amen. Amen.
Here's another one. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. So that would mean that it's better to be poor and have nothing and fear God than it is to have everything that this world has to offer you and have no fear of God.
Right.
To have all these great treasures and not fear him. Proverbs 19:23. Again, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Earlier, it was called a fountain of life. Mm-hmm. Whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Whoever has it rests satisfied. Mm-hmm. So it's not a fear that's crippling. It's a freeing fear that keeps us walking in his ways. It's like there's this weird balance almost of reverence and awe for who he is. And rightful, I think a right fear is a right translation of that, to actually have a fear of that motivates me. Yeah. And here's how you see it work in the New Testament. I love this. Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear
and trembling.
Here's why. For it is God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure.
Yeah.
So think about that. It's the reason you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling is because this God is in you. Mm-hmm. As a believer, and he's working in you to keep you, to preserve you, mm-hmm. to will and to work for his good pleasure, according to his right. word, right? And so you have, man, I love that, because it's like God is telling us to even tremble at the thought of his presence being in us. Mm-hmm. But it's not a crippling fear. It's like a beautiful thing.
Motivating, right? Yeah. It's motivating. Right, yeah. Yeah.
So it is a topic that I think just people don't explore enough in the scriptures.
Yeah.
One last one from Psalms and Proverbs. There's more. Again, I took like 8 to 10. Proverbs 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. And so there again, it's contrasted with a sinful life. The fear of the Lord should keep us from envying sinners and the pleasures that they're receiving now, because we ultimately know it's not going to pan out in the end.
Right, right.
In the New Testament, we preached through the book of Acts recently. This is something that comes up in the book of Acts. I wanted to pivot a little bit and point this verse out, because it talks about the disposition of the whole church, not just an individual believer. And listen to this. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied.
Mm.
So think yeah. about how that seems contradictory on the surface.
Fear
walking,
and comfort.
Walking in the fear of the Lord, but yet in the comfort of the Holy Spirit,
right.
the church is multiplying. And so that should show you that this is a healthy fear of God that we should have as right. Christians. And the church should have that. And so that's, man, that's why I get all worked up when I think of like how flippant, you know, and a lot of Protestant denominations
right.
have become. We've just become so flippant in the gathering, mm-hmm. almost like anything goes.
Right.
And I'm like, right. man, if we're not creating a sense of awe and a sense of majesty for the glory of God in our gatherings, what are we pointing people to?
Right.
Most likely, we're much more man-centered than right. God-centered, if that's the case.
Absolutely.
And a man-centered church does not walk in the fear of the Lord.
That's right.
Versus a big vision of God, which includes his majesty, includes his wrath, includes his holiness, includes his justice, and it yeah. makes his mercy look all the more that beautiful in
right.
light of that. It's like when you see that, his mercy is just all the more glorious and beautiful.
Yeah.
His
and,
grace.
And you contrast that with what we might call woke society, which is in fear of man, you know, living in fear of man, only not a respect, maybe an envy, but being afraid of what other people think, as opposed to living in the fear of God, where he deserves our all and our glory, and we can live in peace and, you know, take a stand for him, knowing that who we are in Christ.
Oh, yeah. The fear of God is the remedy for the fear of man.
Amen.
Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so he's like the very contrast and remedy to fearing man, which drives far too many people's actions, is to actually have a healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah. There's a danger in bringing God or Jesus down to our level, right? Mm. Like just here he's just like us, you know, and we're just, you know, and it's dangerous to think of him that way, but it does seem like in an effort to make him appealing in some way that, you know, there's a distortion of, yeah. of who he is.
Yeah. Meme culture, man. Mm. Meme culture has like amplified that. There's so many like flippant or just irreverent jokes right. on the internet about the Lord and the things of God. And I can poke fun at Christians. Like I like those that kind of where we're mocking ourselves in
right.
some ways
right.
in good humor and good fun. But like when you bring the Lord into it, the whole Jesus is my homeboy movement, that was years ago, but like that drove me nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I get it. So I think there is good intention. When you look at scriptures, like in John 15, I call you my friends. Mm. I am a friend of God. Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
he's seeing the, like, but he's still, he's not a friend like, like you and I are yeah. friends.
Right.
There's a different right. friendship here.
Yes.
He does call us friends, and it's glorious to have a good relationship with the Lord. It is personal. It is loving. Perfect love casts out fear in the negative sense, but that doesn't mean we lose our sense of reverence and awe for him.
Right.
Man, it drives right. me crazy. I think I drank too much coffee because I'm like, like amped up back here, about to get angry for no reason. For no reason.
No, you're right. There is a lot of disrespect and lack of respect in the world today and even in our churches today. And
yeah.
it's never going to end well.
Amen.
So.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, that should affect the way that we pray to him, the way that we, you know, live our lives. I mean, we are living in light of who he is, and that he is a God that deserves our complete reverence, you know. And so I think we should talk to people about him in that way. We should pray to him in that way.
Yeah, ultimately it undermines the gospel, because it's like we want to present good news without ever letting people feel the weight of the bad news.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you just don't embrace the gospel biblically when there's no fear of God.
Right.
You don't embrace the gospel if God is only love, and you don't, you know, do justice to all of the texts that point to his wrath mm-hmm. and his holiness.
Right.
The gospel only makes sense in light of those things.
Right.
Otherwise, like what's the purpose?
Right. Like, well, what's the necessity to be saved if there's nothing to be saved from?
Yeah.
Right.
Or do you even know what you're saved from? I used to ask Christians that all the time, and people wouldn't give me a proper answer. I'm like, look at the numerous scriptures. You're saved from the wrath of God.
The wrath of God.
Yeah.
The condemnation of God. Yeah.
Are you any other thoughts, fellas? Will we wrap it up?
Well, let me just say this. You know, as many of you know, I lived in Alaska for a number of years, and I love Alaska because it's so beautiful. And my prayer every day was, as I would get up and see those mountains and all of their grandeur, it just reminded me of the power of God. And my prayer was, Lord, help me to never stop being in awe of you as I can see this. And, you know, now I'm closer to the ocean than I am the mountains, but it's still the same thing. You know, I sit there at the beach and I can't help but just allow the praises to go up to God, because this God who spoke this world into existence called me and called you and us by name, and we belong to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what being in awe of him is all about.
Yeah. Amen. That's the general revelation of creation. His divine power, his eternal nature has been clearly perceived through what has been made. There's the world around us speaks to his bigness.
Amen.
And his glory. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to Water's Edge, or Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. We appreciate you guys, if you hung in this far, to hang in with us and listen. We'd love to know what you think. So interaction is awesome. If you want to put a comment on YouTube, leave a review on any of the podcast platforms, whatever you're listening to this, if you would engage with it, we would love that. So thank you guys. We got, God bless you and have a great day. Struggling at the end.